Welcome back to another episode of Dark Florida, where the strange and the unexplained come alive under the moonlit skies of the Sunshine State. Tonight's episode is one you won't want to miss. I am joined tonight by a dear friend, Amy Renee, a fiery Leo who has walked a lifetime in the shadows of the paranormal, from chilling experiences as a child to a terrifying attack by an unseen entity. Her journey has been nothing short of extraordinary, and it doesn't stop there. She's even witnessed what could only be described as a skinwalker crawler, but that's not all. Recently, I went on a camping trip to scout locations for an upcoming Bigfoot investigation that I'm going to be a part of. Bound by an NDA, I can't reveal the exact spot other than to say it's in North Florida. Well, while out on a night hike, I had an encounter that I am still trying to make sense of. It is something that has shook me to my core, and the locals warned me of the strange happenings in those woods, from sightings of crawlers and black-eyed kids to whispers of Bigfoot himself. I'll be sharing more on this soon, but tonight we're diving headfirst into Amy Renee's haunted experiences. Dim the lights, settle in, and prepare for a thrilling conversation that will take you deep into the heart of the paranormal. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, Amy. It is an absolute pleasure to have you here. I know that this is something that we've been talking about getting around to doing, and I know this isn't something that you talk about a lot to many people, so I just want to thank you for coming on and having this chat with us tonight.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely happy to have you. So if you could give a little intro about yourself to the listeners, let them know kind of who you are.
My name's Amy Renee. I was born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida. Lived here most of my life. I've only spent a few years away up in North Florida for a little bit, and then, you know, my year in Hawaii. So been here all my life, you could say.
So you're pretty familiar with Dark Florida.
I would say so, for sure.
Well, we're kind of here because I don't know if you would describe yourself as a sensitive, or actually I should just let you describe it. How would you describe your abilities?
I mean, it's really hard to try and put me in any kind of category, you know? I feel like one day I just notice things kind of happening around me. And that's just what it is, you know? I feel like I see things, I can hear things. By no means can I communicate with things.
When did you first realize that you could see spirits? And can you describe your earliest memory of this ability?
I really don't know. I mean, I was young, elementary school. I mean, probably sooner, but not that I can remember. My first memory of it would be in this old house we used to live in Largo. Just a lot of stuff really was going on there. All kinds of energy floating around.
Did you feel like your ability to see or sense these spirits affected your childhood or your family life?
I mean, that's kind of a tough question for me to answer, because at one point, you know, my family was very wrapped up in everything spirit, paranormal. You know, we were watching Ghost Hunters, we were going to conventions, we were going on every ghost tour to every haunted location on every road trip. I mean, we didn't miss a single thing.
So you would say that they were like supportive of your journey?
For sure. More than supportive.
How has your sensitivity to spirits evolved over time?
I feel as if it has remained the same. I kind of pick and choose when I want to give my attention to something. Mm-hmm. Half the time I just ignore it and keep on keeping on with, you know, whatever I'm doing. But other times it's like, whoa, it stops you in your tracks and you gotta question it a little bit. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's kind of like impossible to ignore. Mm-hmm. Now, are there certain types of locations or situations where you notice that your abilities are stronger or more active? Say, if you were to go to maybe like an old jail or a cemetery or even just somebody's house, do you ever pick up on the changes of energy?
For sure. I mean, I can pick up on energy usually as soon as I walk into the room. I, you know, will either feel it or I don't. If it's uncomfortable, I get the hell out of there. I don't like to sit around and stay.
No, that definitely makes sense. Now, can you describe the most vivid or impactful spirit that you've ever encountered? Do you have any one story that really stands out?
I would have to say there was this one night, you know, we're having girls' night, having a sleepover, and We're at my buddy's house. Me and one of my other good friends slept in her bedroom, and then the other two slept out in the living room. And I mean, we're sleeping peacefully. We had pizza. We were done with the night. And all of a sudden, I am just woken up to a man's hand all the way around my throat, just choking me out. I was gasping for air. My whole body was flailing. I could feel the hand around my neck. Like, I kept trying to pull it off, and it wasn't budging. I could feel the hairs. I could feel the veins. I mean, the huge knuckles. Like, it probably went on for 15, 20 seconds. And my friend next to me just sat there watching me try and rip this nothing off of my throat.
Wait a second. So somebody witnessed this?
Yes, my very dear friend who I've been friends with since preschool. She's been my friend for 23 years. Yes, she was there. She witnessed the whole thing. She was speechless. I mean, witnessing something like that, you're speechless. You don't know what to do.
You were actively fighting the spirit that was attacking you, and your friend, she was awake and saw all of this happening. How did she feel?
I mean, she was horrified. She was absolutely horrified. She just kept saying, "Amy, what's going on?" She wanted to help because she saw me reaching for it and trying to grab it. I mean, my whole body was flailing. I don't think that really puts the paralysis in sleep paralysis. I felt very awake.
That must have been terrifying. When this happened to you said that there were two other people in the house. What happened after this thing attacked you? What did you guys do? I don't know how you could possibly go back to sleep after something like that.
We bolted out of the room, went into the living room. I mean, my mind's going everywhere. I'm trying to think. I thought, like, was I having sleep paralysis? Like, everything, every possible opportunity or possible scenario that I was, I'm trying to, like, debunk this in my head, like, oh, it could have been this, it could have been that. But at the end of the day, it just is what it is. My other two friends, the one, she didn't believe it for a second. She was like, "You had sleep paralysis, like, you're over exaggerating." She even took it as far as going to sleep in that bedroom by herself the rest of the night while we stayed up on the couch watching the sun come up.
Was this an older house, or was this like a new construction?
Definitely an older house. I'm not too sure when it was built, but in St. Petersburg, there's a city called Old Northeast.
Filled with a lot of historical houses there.
It's a historical community, for sure. It's tough to say, what might have gone down there, but
No, absolutely. And your friend who lived in the home, has her family ever experienced any other kind of paranormal activity there, or were you what happened to you, was that the first time?
no, her parents had said, they've experienced a few things, but nothing harmful. They said they've seen shadows here and there, but nothing as extreme as what I experienced.
Have you ever had an encounter that has left a physical mark on you, or that had a lasting effect on your mental health or well-being?
I mean, that experience at her house was pretty up there for me. I had never experienced something so physical. So
Right.
I definitely, I told her I'd never be back, and I never have been back to that house. It just is not in the books for me. Another experience that, I mean, it spooked me for months. I slept on the floor of my parents' bedroom because I was just too scared to be alone.
What happened in that instance?
It was a bright and sunny Saturday morning, beautiful weather. It must have been around this time of year. And my parents were out. I was just sitting around doing homework in their bed. And this is at my family's house. Used to be my great grandmother's house. After it was built, she moved in right away. So it's always been in our family. But yeah, I'm sitting there doing homework, and all of a sudden, I just hear the most unnatural, not human. I mean, it was between a howl, a scream, a moan. There's really no, like, way to pinpoint that sound coming from the living room. When I walked out there to go, see what the heck was making this sound, we had a little dog at the time. His name was Seuss. He was just barking, like attacking, just circles around where I heard this noise. Just circling it, trying to, like, he wouldn't give it up, trying to eat whatever this this thing was, there was just nothing there. All there was the sound, and I mean it echoed through my entire house. I'm surprised the neighbors didn't hear it. It was so loud, so piercing. That really shook me to my core.
I bet if I heard a disembodied voice reverberating through my house, I think I would be, I'd be terrified.
Yeah, and I mean, I was probably 12 or 13 years old, so I used to have one of those little mattress pads, brought it into my parents' room, put it on the floor, slept in there for a few good months.
I know off air when we were discussing, you did tell me that when your family moved into this home, that there were some strange things on the windows. I believe you said maybe dream catchers. Like, do you want to maybe share a little bit about the history of the home and some experiences you had there?
Yeah. So, I mean, I believe the homes were built in the 70s. We moved in after my great grandma had passed away. My great grandfather had been gone for quite some time. But once we did move in, we were clearing out all of her things, pictures, old furniture. And we noticed that on every single entryway into the home, there was a small dream catcher hanging on every entrance, every window. And it was, I thought, that's kind of odd. Why would somebody need that many dream catchers, and why on every entry point of the house do we have these dream catchers? So eventually, I mean, my parents took them all down. I left the ones in my room hanging up. I believe they're still hanging up to this day, because she put them up for a reason. I'm not going to be the one to take them down.
Do you feel like she put them up for protection?
That's what dream catchers do. They would offer some kind of protection or comfort.
Can you describe what spirits you've seen and what the spirits you've seen typically look like? Are they human-like? Are they shadowy? Or are they just something else entirely?
Most of them, I would say, are, they're like shadow figures. The only one that I feel like I got a pretty good, like, clear image and could tell who it was after my uncle's passing. I saw him in our house. But it was still kind of black and shadowy. But still, you could see enough to tell that it was him.
So is it like almost translucent? Like it looks like a person, but you can tell that it's not?
With him, I mean, that was the only time, but yes. All the other times, I would say they're thick black shadows. I was going to say, actually, when we did move into that house too, I saw my grandmother's dog. She used to have this big German Shepherd. I saw that thing running around the living room, and that was the only time I saw it. It was gone after that. Yeah, you know, I often wonder if spirits can just have residuals, kind of, that just hang around. It's not really them. You know, I wonder if some of the things I've seen in that home are just that, like, residual, like, energy.
Yeah, no, it absolutely could be. I know we're talking kind of about shadowy figures, and I guess that leads me into my next question for you is, I know you've told me about the encounter and the experience that you had. Can you walk the listeners through your experience with the skinwalker, or however you would like to describe it, and what were the circumstances that led up to it?
I was taking a trip to North Florida to visit some friends, and instead of taking 275, you know, we took the old country back roads through the thick of it going up there. And I mean, it was pitch black. There's no street lights or anything. It's just woods for miles and miles.
It is. I just got back from there. And when I went camping this past weekend, I forgot something. I looked up the nearest Walmart, and the closest Walmart was 2 hours away from where we were camping. You're right. When you're out there, I don't think people realize just how remote Northern Florida really is.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on up there. We're driving. We had been driving probably for about 5 hours. And all of the sudden, I just gasped, and I went to go slam on the brakes, but it was gone as quick as it was there. I just saw this skinny, super skinny black shadow, like, crouching, almost crawling, like, I would say. Because at first, I was like, oh my gosh, like, did I just almost hit a cat or something? Like, it took my brain a few minutes to process what I had seen. But then I was like, whoa, no, that was huge. It kind of started from one point, expanded, and then the back half caught up to it.
How big would you say it was? Did it span the entirety of the road or the lane or both lanes?
I would say a lane and a half. It was a two-lane road, so it was a lane and a half, and then it went off into the woods.
And when you saw it was on all fours.
Yeah, it was. I freaked out because I acknowledged it. I looked at my boyfriend and I was like, "Holy F, did you just see? Like, did you see that?" And he was like, "No, I'm on my phone." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, why did I even acknowledge its existence, you know? You can't really acknowledge beings like that. It's not a good thing." So then I was pretty freaked out until we arrived to our destination.
How would you identify it? What would you describe what you saw? I know we've used words today like skinwalker, crawler.
Skinwalker. Easy peasy. As soon as we got to our destination, I looked at all my friends and I was like, "I saw a skinwalker tonight." And they were like, "What?" And I was like, "I on the way here, I saw a skinwalker, and I'm still pretty spooked out about it. You know, I only saw it maybe about an hour from where I was headed. It was on my mind the rest of the evening. After I saw it, every hair on my body stood up. My heart was racing. It just didn't, I just, it just it had that feeling. It just wasn't a good feeling. I mean, the feeling is just, you know, kind of ultimately what I get is kind of like a gut feeling.
Have you ever sensed or encountered similar beings since then?
Skinwalker? No. I mean, that was my first time. It was only just a couple months ago in August.
I know you said that you try to kind of protect your energy. What do you do to shield yourself from unwanted spiritual or paranormal activity?
If I experience something and I'm just exhausted, don't want to deal with it. I don't acknowledge it. I've been kind of saging, kind of cleansing my space, and just remaining positive. I was given a tiger's eye, a little skull tiger's eye, when I was a kid. I was at some kind of ghost hunting convention and a woman approached me. She gave me this crystal for free, said it would help me, knew what I was going through, and I was researching that crystal today, and it's like for confidence, really like accepting who you are. So I was, you know, my whole childhood, I felt like that was protecting me from things.
It could be protecting you in the sense of it's giving you the confidence because she said to you, hey, I know what you're going through. And probably in that moment, I know, especially when you realize that you're a little bit different from all the other kids around you. You're seeing things that other kids aren't seeing, and you're experiencing things that other kids aren't experiencing. In that moment, to feel seen and for her to give that to you, maybe you needed that confidence boost as a young kid to kind of get you to where you are today, because without it, and I think that that can take its toll, especially when people are very negative, especially when it comes to the paranormal. People don't want to believe it. People think you're lying. They
For
don't want to
sure.
give you credit for what you're seeing. So perhaps that actually gave you the confidence that you needed to help you navigate through the situations. While we're on the topic of skepticism, how do you handle skepticism or disbelief from other people when you share your experiences with them?
For a long time, friend, I did not care. I mean, I know what I experienced. If you don't believe it, that's totally cool. But I feel like eventually everybody will have some kind of mind-changing event or experience happen to them. Nobody has really ever believed me my whole life. Didn't really stop me from telling them, you know, I believe in ghosts, spirits, whatever you want to call them. I know what I've been through, and I spent a lot of time when I was younger, I would try and debunk these experiences happening to me. Try and think of any possible lighting situation that could have caused a weird shadow from a neighbor, like crazy things that just, you know, ultimately that's just not what it was.
Yeah, you're trying to rationalize the experiences as they're happening to you. And I know you talked about how you kind of sometimes try to suppress these experiences. What led you to try to block out some of your sensitivity? And do you feel like by trying to suppress these experiences that it's made them less frequent or less intense in your life? Or do you feel like they still find a way to manifest? Because I know you said you try not to give things energy when you kind of feel that. Or do you still have things happening to you to this day, or is it really only when you go to some of these more like historical sites or Just is it random?
When it comes to suppressing it, I mean, I think that story about when I was 12 or 13 at my parents, I just never heard anything like that. That made me want to shut down everything. I mean, I was so scared. And the fact that I didn't see it, I just heard it like echoing. It vibrated through my body. I mean, it was just unbearably loud. But I still have things going on here and there. I still don't give them the energy.
Right. And how do you cope with situations when your sensitivity surfaces unexpectedly? Like say you go over someone's house and it might be the first time that you're there and you walk in the door and you're like, oh no, this place is haunted. What do you do when all that energy is just kind of bombarding you? How do you cope with it?
I usually just don't do anything alone. I think my worst fear is probably something happening to me when I'm alone. So I just stick with a buddy. I don't ever say anything to anyone. Yeah, I don't get left alone in a room. I don't put myself in a position to be left alone, I guess I should say.
You don't go searching for it. It kind of finds you.
Definitely. I'm never really searching for it.
Do you feel that certain people are more susceptible to paranormal encounters?
Probably. To go back to your first episode, I recently found out that my father's father was born in Lilydale, New York. That town apparently has a lot of history. My dad always said, you know, your grandfather was born in a town of witches. And that's kind of, I think, how people would describe it these days. Very spiritual, psychic, odd town to just show up in.
I know that the episode she's referring to is episode one. We did it on Casadega. In my research to Casadega, when I was referring to those rabbit holes that lead to other rabbit holes and kind of how you follow that string, we were talking and I knew when I started the podcast that I wanted to get Amy on and have her share her experiences because she shared them with me off the air. And there's so many more stories that we're not going to have time to get to tonight. But I knew that she, if she felt comfortable, could come and share her experiences. When we were discussing family lineage, talking about different things that have happened to other members of your family, you said, yeah, my dad. His father was born in a town of witches. So we called her dad and he answered the phone. I immediately thought that he was going to say someplace like Salem, Massachusetts, because when you hear town of witches, I think we all kind of just automatically assume Salem. I've been researching Casadega, so keep that in the back of your mind. When we ask her dad, he says, oh, yeah, he was born in Lilydale, New York. I just looked at her. I had chills. I mean, I've never even heard of Lilydale, and now it's coming up like, twice, three times in 1 week. I'm like, what is going on here? So, yeah, the interesting connection there.
And so the story goes, you know, they say my grandfather was a medium. He didn't talk about it much. Apparently, he could make full communication. Nothing I can do, but, you know. And then to find out also while we were on the phone with my dad that he would drive my grandfather to Casadega, Florida to go visit his aunt that lived there for 30 or 40 years, moved from Lilydale, New York to Casadega. I don't
So,
think it's a coincidence.
I don't believe in coincidences either. Not here on this podcast, we don't. It sounds like you have come from a long line of spiritualists, honestly. Are there areas here in Florida that you avoid because of the heavy paranormal energy? St. Augustine is basically just one big old haunted attraction, but are there certain places that you intentionally
I
avoid?
think the only place I will forever avoid is down in Key West. They have this doll. His name's Robert. Back from war times, he used to be the doll of, I think it was, I don't know the man. I think it's called the Artist House down in Key West, but they have him in a fort down there, usually. I've met Robert the doll too many times for my liking. Robert the doll is a whole nother thing. You gotta dive. You could have a whole episode on him. I mean, you have to ask permission to take a picture of this doll or your camera, cell phone, anything. Done. Not working. You
Oh,
can kiss
wow.
that electronic device goodbye. You have to speak to him as if he's a living boy. I don't know. Every time I've been around that doll, every hair on my body sticks up. I just feel like I'm gonna get sick. Like I don't love it. I won't go near it.
I believe, wasn't he the inspiration for Chucky?
No. I actually don't know. I would love to find out if he was. I mean, when you look at him, he doesn't look like much, but when you get in the same room as that doll, I mean, everything feels like it turns upside down. I dread it. I used to dread it. That one convention we went to, Robert the Doll was there. I've been to the fort and seen him. I've been to the artist's house, you know, like no. That's energy I don't stay around.
Do you feel like that there's a common misconception about people with your abilities?
For sure. I feel like one, I mean, people just don't they either don't believe you or they think like, oh, you can communicate with dead people. I see dead people. I've gotten that so many times. I see dead people. And I'm like, LOL, okay, next. Your joke's not funny. I mean, yeah, I feel like for skeptics, it's a hard thing to come around. I
Right.
feel like they don't really know what to think of you. Which is why I was, you know, a little nervous to get on this podcast with you tonight.
No, absolutely. And I appreciate having you here. I know it's a lot of bravery to come out and talk about these things, but it can also be very healing and validating. And I think with this podcast, part of my goal was to curate a safe space for people to come in a judgment-free zone and share your stories and experiences. And there will always be some skeptics out there. You're surrounded by a supported community here, and you're in a safe place.
Certainly.
All right. So we do have some photos that Amy has provided, and there's actually some energy orbs.
Yeah, growing up, there was just orbs in 90% of my photos. You can say it's dust, you can say it's light, but it's always weird how they're just surrounding me, you know?
A skeptic might ask, though, is it the camera? Or are these at different ages?
Various stages of life, different cameras. What would be like if a camera's shooting rapidly and in one picture there's nothing, in the next there's something? It's not just little specks. Sometimes it's like energy moving across a frame, or I mean the pictures from St. Augustine speak for themselves.
Can you describe the picture of Saint Augustine for the listeners?
It was one of the ghost tours we were on. We always did, you know, I said it before. We did every ghost tour and paranormal thing there was to do, which, you know, usually they're kind of lame, but not with me around.
You drew the energy out.
My dad's always said, she's an attractor. She's an attractor. I just know it. Attract things. People on the tour would not get a picture of anything, and, you know, we would take pictures, and I mean, in the one, there's just too many orbs to count. It's just an insane photo. It's hard to conceptualize.
Were you able to see, or have you ever seen any of these orbs to the naked eye?
An orb? No. Like beings. Like it's always people, full body, never a ball of energy. Never seen that to the eye, but definitely full body figures.
Well, as we're winding down, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing your experiences here with us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you, and we're going to have to get you back on to share more of your encounters. I know that you have many more.
Many, many more. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. That's it for this episode of Dark Florida. A huge thank you to my friend Amy Renee for sharing her incredible and deeply personal stories with us tonight, from her childhood experiences to the terrifying encounters that still linger today. Her journey reminds us just how thin the veil can be between the seen and the unseen. If you enjoyed this episode and want to keep up with all things mysterious, eerie, and paranormal, make sure to follow Dark Florida on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast. And you can also email me directly at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear your own paranormal stories and tips on haunted locations or anything strange you've encountered. If you want to be on the show, shoot me an email. And if you'd like to support the show, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Also, don't forget to follow Dark Florida on YouTube at youtube.com/darkflorida411 for even more eerie content. Whether it's spirits, skinwalkers, or the unexplained lurking in the woods, the truth is out there, and it's always darker than it seems. Stay curious, stay strange, and always trust your instincts when the night feels just a little too quiet. Until next time, I'll see you on the other side.